Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio, a program that looks at current events in the light of Scripture. Your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. On April 19th, the Target retail store took a public stand against a North Carolina law requiring people to use bathrooms that correspond to their physical gender. Target announced that transgender customers could use the bathroom and the fitting rooms that aligns with their own gender identity, not their physical gender. The CEO, Brian Cornell, stated that we want to make sure we provide a welcoming environment for all of our guests, one that is safe, one that is comfortable. Of course, that's a biased statement, because he was creating a welcoming environment for the LGBT community, but an unwelcoming environment for the vast majority of Americans who still hold to biblical morality that a girl should have the privacy of a girl's room and a boy should have the privacy of a boy's room. Now, in response to this, the conservative action organization, the American Family Association, sponsored a boycott against Target, getting over 1 million signatures from people pledging not to shop at Target because of their new restroom policy. Now, the American Family Association was started by Donald Wildman, and boycotting has been one of the main tools of this organization. Wildman started his organization back in the 1970s after watching three television programs that he thought were inappropriate for primetime television: All in the Family, Charlie's Angels, and Three's Company. So he promoted a boycott against Sears, one of the sponsors of these television shows, and it worked. Sears withdrew their advertising from Charlie's Angels and Three's Company. Now today, the AFA operates 200 Christian radio stations, has about 200 people on staff, and operates on a budget of about $17 million. Now, although that's small peanuts in the world of lobbying, the AFA is one of the biggest Christian activist group in America. The AFA is known in Christian circles to be the king of boycotts. The AFA is the main faith-based organization in America sponsoring boycotts against companies that promote anti-Christian, anti-biblical values. And this is what I want to discuss on today's program: Christian boycotts. Or rather, Christians boycotting companies and organizations. Now, the issue of erasing gender distinctions from restrooms is very important. But let's set that aside today and talk about the Christian response to cultural decline, particularly boycotts. Should Christians boycott secular businesses that contribute to the moral rot in our culture? Never done a program on this subject, but I believe this topic should be addressed, because we're going to be seeing a lot more boycotting by each side as America becomes more polarized morally. So what do you think off the cuff? Are you pro-boycotting or anti-boycotting? Or maybe pro-boycotting with some reservations? Have you ever considered what the Bible has to say about this subject? And needless to say, this is an important issue, because if boycotting is wrong, then we're hurting the testimony of Christ by practicing it. And if boycotting is right, and we don't participate, we're not being the salt of the earth. We're not using our financial resources to advance righteousness, and we would be, as Jesus said, salt that has become tasteless. It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Matthew 5:13. Now, personally, I have always had a queasy feeling about Christian boycotts. Something doesn't seem to ring true. But I do participate in them more than a lot of Christians that I know. I haven't been shopping at Target ever since they banned the Salvation Army from ringing the bell outside their stores. I stopped going to Starbucks because it advocates the LGBT agenda. And when I get a chance to upgrade my website and my computer, I plan to drop my PayPal account and my use of Mozilla Thunderbird because those companies support the LGBT movement. And I will not buy a Dell computer for the same reason. I like to spend my money supporting business people who are morally upright. I think that's good stewardship. Jesus taught that we should use our money to advance the kingdom of God. Luke 16:9. I also remember the words of the prophet who spoke to compromising King Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles 19:2. Jehu, the son of Hananiah the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord, so bring wrath upon yourself from the Lord?" You see, Jehoshaphat was coming to the aid of northern Israel, Ahab and Jezebel, with troops and supplies and money. Ahab and Jezebel were the champions of ancient Baal worship. And the prophet rebuked Jehoshaphat for doing business with them. But even though I practice separation from ungodly businesses, and I find many passages of scripture that instruct me to separate from those who practice false ideology, there's something about boycotts that doesn't seem quite kosher, if I can use that word. And I have to ask myself, is this just that typical icky feeling one gets when you have to oppose that which is politically correct? Or is this feeling based upon an understanding of scripture? There are some scriptures that definitely support the practice of boycotts, but there are also some scriptures that could be taken to refute boycotts. For example, one text that anti-boycott Christians use is Romans chapter 12, verse 20. "If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head." And there is a sense in which we win our enemies by doing them good. So should we conclude from this that if every Christian patronized Starbucks, despite Starbucks' LGBT stand, that would be a testimony of Christian love for our enemy? Would that make the management of Starbucks more open to the gospel? Some Christian groups think so. Doing some research on this program, I found that the evangelical groups that oppose boycotts are also the evangelical groups that tend to lean left theologically. And they oppose Christian boycotts on the grounds of dialogue. They say dialogue isn't about suppressing the culture, it's about engaging the culture. I have here in front of me an article by one Christian opponent of boycotts who writes, "If Paul would have marched through the Athens marketplace, attempting to drive everyone out of business for selling things he didn't personally agree with, he would have missed an opportunity to share his own beliefs. We're called to spend our lives making disciples, not closing down businesses for not effectively celebrating our holiday." And he goes on to write, "Christians shouldn't be afraid of the culture. They should help shape it. And that's hard to do when you're boycotting it." Well, those are some good points. But Paul also had a lot to say about Christians not supporting the pagan temples by eating at their tables. 1 Corinthians 10:20. "The things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to become a sharer in demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons." And then Ephesians 5:11, "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them." Jesus took a whip and he drove the money changers out of the temple. I don't think Jesus would have bought some of the money changers' coins in order to start a dialogue with them, or build a bridge to them, or to show them how much of a nice guy he is. So this argument against boycotts on the basis of outreach is weak. I tend to think that this anti-boycott position is based on this whole seeker-friendly concept of evangelism, that we win people by not upsetting people, or that we go along to get along. But one thing is for sure, whatever our position is on boycotting, we should not base it on how the world reacts to our boycotts. Too many evangelicals teach a form of pragmatism, where in effect they argue that what is right and wrong for the Christian is based upon earthly results. Now, when Don Wildman started his organization, he boycotted businesses that sponsored certain TV shows. Those companies dropped their sponsorship, and hey, it worked. But does that make boycotting right? Of course not. In the same way, just because boycotting may anger or alienate the world doesn't make it wrong. Getting people angry or even driving them away from the gospel should not factor into our decision concerning what is the right or wrong practice as a Christian. Moses, by doing the right thing, made Pharaoh and the people of Egypt very angry. And Jesus didn't make the Pharisees very happy, but he was pleasing the Father. So let me list a number of truths or principles concerning boycotts. First, as I just alluded to, pragmatism is not the way Christians determine the right or wrongness of a certain practice. Because doing what is wrong often gets you friends and money, and doing what is right often means punishment. In World Magazine, Marvin Olasky had a piece called Target on Target. How do we decide whom to boycott or not? And the gist of the article was 5 points from war theory. Military generals decide whether it's right or wrong to go to war based upon a number of practical considerations. First, you don't go to war if you don't have a probability of winning the war. Evil shot at and miss becomes stronger. Second, only go to war as a last resort. Try other means first. Third, there should be right intentions. Fourth, you should only go to war to protect the innocent. And fifth, you must be consistent. Well, those are interesting points, but Marvin Olasky must have had a momentary lapse in discernment, because that list doesn't give us any biblical guidance concerning boycotts. Because Christians ought to do the right thing even if it means we lose the cultural war. And we don't do what's right only as a last resort. Pragmatic war theory doesn't help us to decide Christian moral practices. A second consideration is the difference between true conversion and superficial compliance. A basic foundational Christian teaching is that the inside of the cup needs to be cleansed, not just the outside of the cup. Outward behavior can be changed by social or financial pressure, but that's not real change. And that's not what the gospel message is all about. The argument used by Christians who are against boycotts is that we are to transform the world by the gospel, and not by people's desire for money, business, and customers. And unless the heart is changed spiritually, any reversal in Target's policy will be temporary. And it may even cause a pent-up evil that, when released, will be worse. And we will never be able to stop cultural decline by financial pressure put upon people. In fact, many leftist ideologues in business don't care if they lose 5, 10, 15% of their business. For them, it's not about money. It's about creating a new morality. This is their immoral crusade. And the culture is becoming so immoral that for every Christian sale a company will lose, they will pick up sales from the LGBT supporters. And the reason we're reading in the newspaper about all these companies coming out in favor of LGBT rights and even persecuting states that have anti-LGBT laws is because these companies see the trend. Companies that become LGBT supporters become popular. So I would agree with that analysis, in the sense that it would be wrong for a Christian to boycott if they are boycotting on the assumption that boycotts bring about real change. But most of those people I read who advocate for Christian boycotts admit that spiritual conversion is the only real solution, They're not boycotting for the purpose of stopping the moral decline in society. They are boycotting because they have a moral responsibility to be a good steward of God's money. Regardless of whether hearts are changed by boycotts, we don't have to think that deep. We're simply called of God to not support evil. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Psalm chapter 1. It doesn't matter if not supporting the wicked fails to convert the wicked. Not spending money supporting the pagan temples is just the right thing to do. It's a matter of stewardship. An employee at the AFA had an article in Charisma magazine about boycotts, and he wrote this. Many of our detractors charge that boycotting is not a good Christian witness. But for me, it has always seemed a simple matter of good stewardship. Where should I spend the money with which God has blessed me? A few days ago, I received an email from a Christian lady who believed boycotts are not a valid means of defending moral values. She suggested that boycotting is judgmental and self-righteous. Yet I consider it simply wise stewardship. Point number 3. Expect the world to boycott Christian organizations. Boycotts against evil only work while there's a large Christian majority in the country. But soon that moral capital is burned up, the unsaved become in the majority, and once in power, they use the same tool against organizations that hold to Christian values. Now, that's not a reason to be against boycotts. As I said, boycotts may be simply a matter of good stewardship of God's money. But just recognize that boycotts work the other way. Chick-fil-A was boycotted by the LGBT community for supporting anti-LGBT groups. And certain liberal cities and colleges were banning Chick-fil-A restaurants. So back in 2012, the Christian community got behind Chick-fil-A and sponsored a support Chick-fil-A Day. And overall sales of Chick-fil-A went up 12% that year. But later, the board of Chick-fil-A capitulated to the LGBT protesters. They changed their policy. Chick-fil-A would no longer donate to organizations that lobbied against LGBT rights. So now the boycotts of the ungodly are effectively shutting down and striking fear in Christian organizations. So, what conclusion can we make about the rightness or wrongness of boycotts? Here's my conclusion. Christians ought to identify those companies and individuals that are outspoken enemies of righteousness. Companies that promote an ungodly agenda where the moral battles of today are taking place. Businesses that support Planned Parenthood, Lambda Legal, homosexual marriage, the new definition of gender. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrines which you have learned. Romans 16:17. But let me suggest that there might be a moral distinction between direct versus indirect opposition to the activities of the unsaved. A formal boycott is a direct opposition, such as a signature campaign or picketing in front of a store. Indirect opposition would be for Christians to simply be informed as to where a company stands on a certain issue. Even though the company doesn't receive a list of a million signatures opposing their policies, the company generally knows that the Christian community is aware of their policies and that Christians tend not to patronize businesses that oppose Christian values. Now, the reason I make this distinction, because that might be the pattern in the book of Acts. Acts 19 is one of the few New Testament texts that appear to address Christian boycotting of certain products. In Acts 19, there was the growth of the church in Ephesus. Verse 19, many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and began burning them in the sight of everyone. They counted up the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. Now, as the text goes on, we read that the people in Ephesus become aware of this. And the silversmiths in the city see that the Christians are no longer buying their idols. So in verse 24, a man by the name of Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Artemis, was bringing no little business to the craftsmen. These he gathered together with the workmen of the similar trades and said, "Men, you know that our prosperity depends upon this business. You see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a considerable number of people, saying that the gods made with hands are no gods at all. Not only is there danger of this trade of ours falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Artemis may be regarded as worthless, and that she whom all Asia and the world worship will even be dethroned from her magnificence." And when they heard this, they were filled with rage. They began crying out, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." So the Christian boycott here resulted in persecution from the world, but it was still the right thing to do. But what I see in the text is that this boycott was not an official boycott. The Christians did not write a letter to the silversmiths saying, "We will not buy your products and we will not support false religion." The Christians just did what Christians do, and the world saw it. No signature campaign was needed to provoke the silversmiths. Christians just put their money toward righteous causes, and that hurt unrighteous business. By an indirect boycott, Christians were being good stewards of their money. They were using their money to advance the kingdom of God, but they were not provoking the unsaved directly by picketing or by petitioning. So this is where I'd fall on this whole issue of boycotts. Christian activist organizations ought to do the work in letting the Christian community know where certain businesses stand on the issues, and then stop there. I would not support the practice of a direct protest against companies or organizations. We should just do the right thing and let our testimony speak for itself. And a case could be made that this indirect approach is the biblical emphasis in the New Testament. 1 Peter 2:23. Jesus left us an example not to revile in return. 1 Peter 4:15. Make sure that none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a troublesome meddler. Titus 2:8. We should be above reproach so that the unsaved will have no evil thing to say about us. Now, you may not come to the same conclusion I have come to concerning boycotts. The Acts 19 situation and the difference between a direct or an indirect boycott is why direct boycotts bother my conscience. But at the very least, the point you should take from this program is that whatever your position is, make sure you have a chapter and verse from the scripture, rather than your decisions being based simply upon your feelings or upon pragmatism. Because the Word of God, and the Word of God alone, is our guidebook for faith and practice. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with Pastor Brad Winship. The radio website to listen to this program again or to other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can email me with a request for a free CD of any program. That's godandcountryradio.org. Spell it out, God and Country Radio. Thank you for listening today. If God so leads, consider making God and Country a part of your weekly discipleship. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, may we desire to do what's right in your sight, regardless of the consequences, regardless of the persecution. We must obey God rather than men. And then we know if our hearts are right, you will show us the right way. For your glory, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.